Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Now the question becomes, what are you going to pick up for dinner? Ben Quiddle tells you what you should pick up and also gives you the latest news that's cooking with BYU Sports in What's Cooking with the Cougars here on ESPN 960.
ESPN 960 Sports. This is Darnell Dixon of the Daily Herald. I'm with Hunter Miller. Ben Quiddle has been taking us through the last couple of hours as we've discussed new BYU coaching hires for football and some other things. He's going to take off now, and we're going to finish up the show. This portion of the program is brought to you by Fat Daddy's Pizzeria in Provo. I'm super excited about Fat Daddy's because they're building a location in Orem. It's going to be a lot closer to where I live. I'm really excited for that to show up. Great pizza, salad, sandwiches, breadsticks. You can get free breadsticks if you mention ESPN 960 when you go in to purchase your pizza. Or I guess just breadsticks if you just want breadsticks. I don't know if they're free that way or not. I probably shouldn't speak out of turn.
Why not?
Is it?
Eight free garlic knots whenever you mention ESPN 960.
Even better. 960. Garlic knots are awesome. My hot take. Garlic knots are better than breadsticks. I'm excited. I'm taking my wife down to the BYU basketball game after this and probably stop at Fat Daddy's, grab some garlic knots, grab some pizza on the way into the Marriott Center for the game.
They take a lot of care in your pie. They really know how to cook it. I'm a meat eater, so I like the tri-carne. But there's lots of different kinds of pizza there. Frankie One Eye, the Butcher Block, Miss Bianca, the Four Horsemen, all kinds of great stuff. So make sure that you hit Fat Daddy's Pizzeria in Provo. Give them a chance to win your business. Great environment as well. Great mood you can get into. Sort of an 80s vibe inside there, which is great for me. So Fat Daddy's Pizzeria in Provo. We have coming on the program right now from the Deseret News, Jay Drew, who's been following today's activities in the BYU football program and probably written 10,000 inches on it already. Hey, thanks for coming on, Jay.
Yeah, no problem. And you're about right, Darnell. You guys are making me hungry with that pizza talk, though. So
we won't keep you too long because we know you... You probably have some more to write because they never give you any breaks there at the Deseret News. But what are some of your major impressions as you interview, part of that group interview with Jay Hill and Kalani Sitake?
Just Kalani said something about Jay Hill just kind of having a presence about him that you can just feel, but like a confidence, not a cocky arrogance. And that really came through. I have obviously talked to Jay Hill before and seen interviews with him, but it was almost, and I kind of wrote this, it was almost like Cougar Nation got kind of a warm blanket thrown around their shoulders on a cold winter night. I think he just brought this comforting kind of presence that said, hey, man, everything's going to be okay. We got this. And so that was kind of my biggest takeaway. I was really impressed with just how he basically assured pretty much everybody that they're going to be okay in the Big 12 and they're going to get the right guys in there and they're confident in their schemes and they're going to win. I thought it was he didn't make any hollow promises or anything like that, but he was just self-assured and I was really impressed.
Jay, one of the things that popped into my mind was Jay Hill is somebody that Kalani Sitake has worked with before at the University of Utah, and they talked a lot about that and how that would get them to work together. My thought was, well, so was Elisa Tuiaki. I mean, that was a guy that's been with Kalani for a very long time, and they've coached together. So why do you think that Jay Hill and Kalani's work will be different than maybe what we saw the last couple of years, especially for Elisa Tuiaki and Kalani Sitake?
I think Jay Hill is a better evaluator of talent. I think he's a better recruiter. I don't want to throw a light on the bus under the bus because he did a lot of good things for BYU. But every time I talk to people, high school coaches, whatever, they always brought up the whole recruiting thing. And I just think that Jay Hill knows talent better. He evaluates talent better. He'll combine with Kalani on that. And I just think they'll bring in better people to fit their system. And I think he knows more of what he wants, and he'll go after it. And so I thought about the same thing too, Darnell. I thought, you know, and we wrote that. All of us have written that over the years, is why hasn't Sac Lake City moved down to Provo? You know, and I think when I kind of look back on it, I think it's because they didn't have the right kind of guys in there. And I think Jay Hill will bring in those type of guys. So that's why I think people should be optimistic about him.
Hey, Jay, Hunter Miller here. You put out a tweet last night kind of after the news broke with Pete Thamel that sources had told you that Jay Hill would be making roughly $1 million a year, which I think, you know, is the most that, you know, any assistant coach for BYU football history has ever been paid. Why is Jay Hill the right guy to pay that much to, and why is now the right time for BYU to kind of break the bank for assistant coaches?
Well, I just think it's the Big 12. I think they know they're going to be some windfall coming from the Big 12. I think Kalani probably went to BYU administration and said, hey, here's what I need. And it started last December, a year ago, when he signed that unprecedented contract. And I think this is part of it. I think basically they know they got to pay market value. They weren't going to get Jay Hill away from Weber State. I know he like tripled his salary, but I just don't think they were going to get him away without paying market value for a Power 5 coordinator, because frankly he probably could have gone somewhere and gotten that sooner. And so I really think and as he said in the press conference today, a combination of that and Kalani Sitake, he just said Kalani was a humongous reason why he came to BYU. We just wanted to work with him again. And so But bottom line is, I just think it's time. I think this season has shown BYU administration a little bit that you got to have two things in place. You got to have great coaching, and you got to have the players. You got to have the Jimmies and the Joes. There's an old saying in the South that you don't win with X's and O's, you win with Jimmies and Joes. And I really think BYU is kind of figuring that out now.
We're talking to Jay Drew from the Deseret News. Jay, that's a good point as far as the administration is concerned, because when it was announced in 2021 that BYU was going to join the Big 12, I wondered if the administration and the Board of Trustees really understood what it meant to invest the football program in the Big 12. I think they're starting to learn that now with Jay Hill as he starts to set up his coaching staff. We know from conversations today that they plan to retain Gennaro Guilford as a defensive back, probably cornerback coach. Kelly Papinga, we'll get to talk to tomorrow, has been hired as a defensive coach and as a special teams coordinator. Where do you think that Sitake and Hill kind of go next to try to shore up that defensive coaching staff?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'd like to see him get a good defensive line coach, somebody who can really coach edge rushing, pass rushing. It doesn't look like they're going to retain Preston Hadley, who was doing that, and then they moved him when they had the big switch. They moved him to safeties coach. So, you know, some of the names out there, Sean Nua, I think, is one. I don't know if they can afford him, get him away from I think it's USC is where he's at right now, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so... But I think that's where it all starts for a defense, and I think that's where BYU has been lacking in the last few years. I mean, they've had Kyrus Tonga, who was phenomenal talent, and obviously in the NFL, or he was. But I think that they just got to get somebody in there that can coach those defensive linemen and pass rushers up, and especially if like Jay Hill said, they're going to be more aggressive and more on attack. I think it really starts there.
Jay, one more quick question for you, because I know it's been a busy day for you. when one door closes, another door opens, and obviously BYU's filled their defensive coordinator vacancy, but now Weber State's got a head coaching vacancy. And you obviously have guys, like you pointed out on Twitter, like Fessy Satake, who have ties to the program there up in Ogden. Do you foresee, you know, BYU at risk of potentially losing an assistant coach to Weber State now as they look for a new head coach, or where do you see kind of their coaching search going?
Yeah, I'm not real familiar with kind of the person that Weber State would want, but I mean, I hear Colton Swan, who's on Utah staff, was on Weber State staff for a long time. Obviously, he'd be up there. And then Fessy Satake would be a great hire. I mean, it would be a loss for BYU. He's not only a good recruiter, but we all saw what the receiving corps did this year and what he did with the passing game in coordination with Aaron Roderick. So I think Tui Aki's available, but I just don't think with how the season went down that he would probably be considered. I don't know. A lot depends on maybe their competition now, like what other schools out there. Is Idaho State still looking for a head coach? I don't know if they've named one yet, but I've heard them pop up as kind of a competitor for that type of a coach. Seems to me Weber State could come up with more money and, just off the top of my head. So as far as any other people on BYU staff, I don't really see many. Kevin Kloon has been on the staff. It doesn't look like he's going to be retained. He's got a lot of experience, but he's probably not, I don't know if the word is gregarious or just kind of outgoing enough maybe to be a head coach.
Well, Jay, we appreciate your time tonight. You'll be busy tomorrow, too, with the Kelly Papinga news conference. It's getting to be kind of like NBA free agency in the offseason for college football, where we just kind of follow everything and everything with the transfer portal and all of that. So I expect to see many, many more things that you're writing over the next few months.
Yeah, I'm also trying to do Utah basketball, so and they're pretty good this year, so it'll be an interesting month.
All right, Jay, thanks a lot. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, guys, have a great night.
So let's recap a little bit, Hunter.
Let's do it.
So today, big day for BYU. They hire Weber State head coach Jay Hill to be defensive coordinator and assistant head coach. Has a news conference. Everyone loves him. He and Kalani show and talk about their relationship and how that's going to pay off.
Yep.
Kelly Papinga has also been officially announced as a hire on the defensive side. The BYU will get a chance to showcase him tomorrow in a news conference. Let's see what else. Jacob Conover.
Yep. Jacob Conover announced he's going to attend Arizona State and probably expected to compete for the starting job there.
Obviously. His high school coach is on the coaching
staff. Coach is there. He's from the area. It just kind of makes sense for him to go back home there. Another bit of news, while not directly BYU related, Joey Hobert, who was a wide receiver for Utah Tech, who BYU faced this last season, announced just about an hour ago that he's put his name into the transfer portal. I know he was a guy that BYU looked at and offered when he was coming out of high school in San Juan Hills in California. You have to wonder if, with Terrence Fall entering the portal with the potential loss of Puka Nacua to the NFL, if a Joey Hobert is a direction that BYU would possibly look at to kind of maybe provide some wide receiver depth. I know he went to Washington State originally out of high school before ending up at Utah Tech. But a bit of news there that could indirectly impact the BYU football team and potentially a name to watch who could be playing in Provo.
And we talked a little bit about timing when it came to BYU hiring Jay Hill. I find the timing of the signings from these guys that have entered the transfer portal to be very interesting, because you wonder if they had something specific in mind when they went into the portal, or if they're just kind of like, hey, I'm here, does anybody want me to come try out?
Yeah.
And then, because there's thousands of guys in the portal, and not everybody's going to find a place. In fact, last year, according to the statistics I looked at, 30% of the guys that entered the portal found places to go. The other 70% did not, either had to go back or had to go to a lower division and play.
Well, and I think a lot of the times with the transfer portal, we assume, okay, they've entered the portal, they're gone. Right, like there's no chance that Tate Romney might end up back at BYU or Campbell Barrington might end up back at BYU. Like likelihood is they are gone, but it's not a 0% chance that we never see them at BYU again, right? I know Jalen Dixon, a Utah wide receiver, a couple of years ago entered the portal and after a couple of weeks decided he was coming back to Utah. It was reported a couple of days ago that Drake May, the quarterback for UNC, was going to enter the transfer portal. He just announced this evening that he's going to stay at North Carolina. So some guys may have entered the portal, and now that Jay Hill's back, we talk about, you know, you go out and you recruit guys in high school and in the portal, but you also recruit the guys you've already got in the program. You might take a look at, you know, can Jay Hill, now that he's in, maybe re-recruit Tate Romney, right? Re-recruit. I know he's not the, you know, offensive line coach, but BYU can go back to those guys who have entered the portal like Campbell Barrington and maybe try to re-recruit them. We'll see, but obviously, you know, the transfer portal doesn't mean that they're for sure gone. But just again, real quick, we didn't talk about it during the show because it's, you know, Ben's maybe not favorite topic to talk about, and especially on a day like today where you get BYU football coaching news, but there's a basketball game tonight.
There is.
Down there in Provo.
BYU-UVU, which it's funny because I remember like 5 or 6 years ago, BYU's like, nah, we didn't really want to play UVU. It's not that big a deal. Well, a couple of wins for UVU later. In this series, it's a pretty big deal. UVU won last year in overtime.
Yep.
Fardaz Amak was just unstoppable, mainly because Gavin Baxter went down in the first 8 minutes with a season-ending knee injury.
Yep. Put an asterisk by it.
Yeah, but
doesn't count.
It's still a victory for UVU. Now they're playing BYU in Provo at the Marriott Center. Cougars coming off a really hard-to-take loss to South Dakota in the Vivint Center, Vivint Arena in Salt Lake City, where they trailed by 21 points with 10 minutes left in the game and managed to come back and lost by one with a chance to win it with a shot at the buzzer.
Yeah, not great. The good news is, as Greg Rubel points out on Twitter, under Mark Pope, BYU's 21-5 when coming off of a loss. So
right.
BYU's got that bounce-back mentality going.
I think they've only lost one or two games under Mark Pope in non-conference play in the Marriott Center. So it bodes well for them, but they're going to have to shoot a lot better than 7 for 33 from the three-point line. Bryce, you have some investment in the UVU program in terms of running the coaches show, right?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, so what was Mark Madsen's message this week as they prepare for this game?
Yeah, Mark Madsen just wanted his guys to, you know, there's been a lot of tough games that haven't gone their way so far this season. Like they went to Wake Forest and battled Wake Forest all the way into overtime and ended up losing on a buzzer beater three. They went to Jamaica and kind of had a game stolen away from them where Latrae Darthard got fouled right with a couple seconds left, or the time it actually went out, and the refs said, you know, he didn't have enough time because there was like a clock error, so they took away his opportunity to shoot free throws right at the end of the game. So kind of his message was just go in there and play as hard as you can and don't worry about what's happened in the past and kind of just worry about what's in front of you, right? And that's what they're going to do tonight against a good BYU team, and we'll see if they can go in and repeat like they did in 2016 and win in the Marriott Center.
Wolverines with really good guard line. Justin Harmon, Trey Woodbury, and Latrae Darthard, who had 25 the night, 7 for 11, I think, from the three-point line.
But Blaze Neal still there?
Blaze Neal is still there, setting presence.
Revenge
at the point
game
guard
tonight.
And then you're going to get a lot of people who haven't seen him play yet are going to have a lot of fun watching Aziz Bandiago. That dude is so athletic. He's not as offensively polished as Fardaz Amak was in terms of being able to put his back to the basket, make moves, that kind of thing. But he's so long and so athletic. He dunks the ball like crazy. He rebounds really well. He's a shot blocker, defensive presence.
So what you're saying is he's UVU's Atiki Ali Atiki.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
And that ought to be an interesting matchup.
Aziz is top 10 in the nation in double-doubles as well as blocked shots. He's up there with Armando Baycott from UNC and Oscar Tshuebe from Kentucky.
So that should be a fun matchup tonight with Foose and
absolutely.
Tiki down
I'm looking
the
forward
paint.
To a really good matchup. I hope BYU plays a little better than they played on Saturday. They have to figure out a way to score when the three-pointers aren't dropping, because on Tuesday they hit 19 three-pointers against Westminster and looked unstoppable on offense.
A school record for made threes in a game, and the next game you turn around and you lose to South Dakota.
You miss your first 12, you go 1 for 17.
They got all their makes out of the way against Westminster.
I guess. One other bit of football news I wanted to mention. Ed Lamb, former BYU assistant head coach, has been introduced at Northern Colorado as their new head coach. And congratulations to Ed. I'm going to miss him because he's the best quote on the coaching staff. And anytime I needed any good information and any complete information on a story I was working on, I'd go to Ed, and he never failed to deliver. So I'm jealous of those in the Northern Colorado beat writers that are going to get access to Ed to start the their spring and fall, and good luck to him. We're going to go ahead, Bryce, we're going to go ahead and end the show right now. Is that okay? Because I got to get on the road. I got to get on the road down to BYU and UVU. We hope everyone has a pleasant night. Hunter, thanks for coming in. We'll do this
Thank
again
you.
Sometime where it's just you and me. We won't even include Ben.
Yeah.
And then we can have a good time. But we appreciate Ben and his efforts in getting the best sports talk, and especially today on a day when BYU hires a defensive coordinator, Jay Hill, and we're going to follow his progress very closely. Thanks to Gavin. Thanks to Bryce. And we'll be back tomorrow. Ben will be on the program. I'm not sure what he's got planned for you, but it's going to be good. I'm sure some sound from Kelly Papinga's news conference, which will be tomorrow. So, for everybody at ESPN 960, this is Darnell Dixon of the Daily Herald. Have a good night, have a safe night, and we will talk to you again soon.